What was your name again, sir?
Scott McLean.
Okay, we're Miss McLean. We will conduct a hearing, sir. You will serve as a lead, sir. So just hold on, sir.
Okay, sir, would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
It's Scott McLean, number 12527.
Okay, you're appearing for the eligibility to get your clearance in reference to community supervision revocation. I'm going to introduce the board members that conduct a hearing. To my far right is the Honorable Lincoln Onis. To his left in the center is Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. My name is David Neal. I'll be the hearing lead today. Also in the room, we have Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and we'll also represent the parole office today. So, prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this hearing. You remember that form, sir?
I do.
Okay, I'm going to form you to notify your right to appear and speak on your behalf of a county licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself.
At this time, I'm going to swear you with Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
I do.
Your hearing will be conducted in two phases today, sir. Phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. If they were violated, in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, what I'm going to do is read the allegation that is on your warrant, and I'm going to ask you, after I read it, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. Allegation number one is a violation of Verbal Conditional Supervision number two, as demonstrated by your failure to file the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report to the Tucson parole office for a face-to-face contact visit on or about March 6, 2018, as directed on February 23, 2018. You were actively avoiding supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
It is true.
Well, based on the admission of Mr. McClellan, I don't need to find that he was delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision, and now he may have lapses or not lapses in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Taylor Anderson, agreed by Dr. Wright. Okay, sir, we're going to be moving into phase two in a moment, but before we move, Mr. Westby is going to give us background information. So stay on the phone and I'll get right back with you. Mr. Westby.
On February 22, 2018, Mr. McLennan was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested July 9, 2018 by the Pima County Sheriff's Office on new felony charges of possession of dangerous drugs, possession of drug paraphernalia, and theft of means of transportation. He was back in DOC custody on July 18, 2018, with an adjusted community supervision ending of January 6, 2019, which reflects 125 of down days. Current conviction, 2017, forgery, three counts. Count one, 2.5 years. Counts two and three, 2 years. Prior convictions, 2004, theft, 1 year. 2004, flight from law vehicle, 1.5 years. 2004, theft, 3.5 years. 2009, misconduct involving weapons, 1.5 years. 2015, forgery, 9 months. This is his fourth term in DOC. CUIR score 2.2, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 1. There's no gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2007, TIS release completion, 13 months. 2010, TIS release to detainer, release from the detainer completed 2 months. 2015, TIS release completion, 4 months. These disciplinary violations are minimal. Other arrest, 2009, theft, Arizona, federal prison. His community risk score is a G6V7. I received status of charges from Maria Gomez, dated August 9, 2018, that states that his felony charges that he had were dismissed on July 16th of 2018.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. McClellan, we're going to go over a summary of your case supervision at this time. Your report resides at 937 East 34th Street in Tucson, Arizona. Did you stay there the whole time, sir?
I did not, sir. I rented an apartment on Calvary Avenue, where it was a little nice mountain, so.
Okay. Did you have any employment while you were out?
I did, sir. I worked for Boomerang Landscaping.
That's good. And it doesn't show any programming or sanctions or follow-up. So when you decided not to talk to your PO anymore, what happened? Why did you do that?
Okay, sir. So when I was released on February 22nd, I was actually supposed to be released 2 weeks prior to the GOC. And the reason I was held longer is my wife, who I was going to release to, changed her mind and canceled matters of parole because she was living with my best friend that had gotten released 40 days earlier out of GOC custody. And it was the middle of my basic thing that followed up when I got out. So I went to my ex-girlfriend and I went to Phoenix. I started working up there with my brother-in-law. And I missed my parole date. I actually kind of got stranded again. I called my parole officer and told him. And then I missed a couple more days. I was stranded there, which is no excuse. When I came back to Tucson, my girlfriend was in the hospital. She has lupus, something like cancer. And she's been in and out of the hospital. So for 5 months that I didn't want to leave her out there. Basically, I just worked and I came home and I went inside her in the hospital and I took care of her when she came home. That sounds kind of pathetic, really. The thing I learned from this whole thing is not to let the actions of others, my wife, and my old friend dictate my actions, cause me to react. I work with a police firm here on the yard, and she's got me going with Kodak, the program for my SMI, mental health problems. She's informing that they're going to pay my rent for a whole year, and then I'll be going to substance abuse and relapse prevention classes, as well as recounseling for my father. And if I was so actually hoping that my parole officer would be here so that I could apologize to him, because he gave me every opportunity to be really, really nice guy, and I really dropped all this time. I've never bothered a parole officer before, and I've probably done for many other things that gives me.
Okay.
So
I'm going to see if any of my fellow workers have any questions at this time. Okay, sir, we're on there in the end of your hearing at this time. I will go into the hearing and the discussion to make a determination momentarily. But before we do that, I'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything else that you might think is important for us to make a good decision. We just ask that you don't repeat the information you've already covered, okay?
Okay. I'm not sure if the incoming sheriff's contacted the law office or anything. But I guess one of the detectives has some kind of information for me, so I didn't look over here if he wants to pardon me for not finding out one of these.
Okay, thank you, sir. What are we going into the discussion? We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think that we're talking to you, but we won't be. So just remain silent, but stay on the phone, and once we make a decision, I'll get right back with you, okay?
Okay.
What is now discussion? Well, Mr. McClellan has he's soft-spoken, pretty straightforward, but also, I don't know, his, I think his thinking was in the right place as far as where he was going to reside. He had done clear with his PO, and he didn't do that, and he didn't talk to him for 4 months. And with that much of an abstain time, I don't see him as a good candidate for the term of community supervision, but I will list a discussion from the fellow board members. Okay, so based on all the information in warrant number 2018W0946, and the testimony of Mr. McClendon and the information from the Department of Corrections, I would move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. McClendon as an employee violating terms of additional supervision and have actually adopted acts in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Dr. Wright, agreed by Mr. Canoas. Okay, sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. You were scheduled to be released on or about January 6, 2019. That's not a tremendous amount of time left. But we hope that you will make yourself a very good plan so that when you are released, that you can behave yourself and not get in trouble with the law. Because I'm sure that you will make that good on you. So, but we do wish you the best, much, sir. We really do. And hopefully when you are released in January, you'll be able to be a successful member of society and cannot have to worry about law enforcement or Department of Corrections. Okay?
Yes.
All right, this ends the hearing, and thank you very much.
Speak up a little bit. What's your name and your number, sir? Thank you, Mr. Thomas. You appear for the Board of Executive Committee for your revocation hearing regarding the two allegations on your warrant. And based upon information, there are three. You were notified of this hearing back on August the 3rd of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Yes.
That was stated that the hearing would be held today, and among other things, it also stated that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. I don't see one signed in for you, therefore may I assume that you're going to represent yourself this afternoon, this morning, sir?
Yes.
And as you can see, there are three.
1 second. We actually never turned off the recorder. We have this. I'm just going to start and stop. Stop and start again so that there's a break. We won't really have to change much, so just 1 second.